Moritz Kaminsky is the co-founder of Albi, which is a browser extension that acts as a Bitcoin and Nostr companion for the web. In our conversation, we spoke about adoption of Nostr and the Lightning Network, as well as Albi's work on building Bitcoin Connect. Before we get into the show, today's episode is sponsored by Stackwork. Stackwork is a lightning-powered transcription tool that takes the best of AI and humans to create better, faster, less expensive transcripts. We'll have more from Stackwork later in the show. Moritz, welcome back to the show. You were on one of the early episodes about a year and a half ago talking about Albi, how it works, and all the cool stuff you have planned. Talk to me about the last 18 months. So since our last conversation, what has Albi been up to?
Yeah, great to be back, actually. A lot has happened since we met last time on your podcast. We've been really working very hard on all things around Albi, really to build Albi out as your companion when it comes to interacting with the Bitcoin Lightning Network, either as a consumer or like a normal user like you and me, or as a developers. When we talk about the browser extension, for example, we added quite some nice functionalities there. So for example, you can also have a master key that we use to derive now different private keys for different ecosystems, basically. And this is quite well actually used right now, for example, because you can create a Nostr private key directly in the Albi extension from this seed phrase and use it for login into various web apps that support Nostr sign in, right? There's the functionality to derive your Liquid key for the Liquid network, so you can sign transactions for the Liquid network and receive payments and send payments there, basically. And the same also now works for Bitcoin on-chain payments. So there is no UI yet. The UI is basically could be a web app, but then the web app asks the browser extension, like the Albi extension, please sign this transaction for me. And then you can sign it and send it out, basically, or you can receive payments because the web app can ask for a Bitcoin address. I think this is quite a nice addition to the browser extension because it gives developers more tools to interact with the extension, with the APIs of the extension, and users just more flexibility to use Albi, not only in pure Lightning apps, but also, for example, in all the Nostr apps out there. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the big additions to the browser extension, basically. But there are also other things like that we can talk about, developer related things, API related things of Albi accounts, for example.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak to some of the adoption you've seen on these different ecosystems like Nostr and Liquid to date?
So Nostr definitely exploded the last year. I think we implemented Nostr signing capability more than a year already ago. That was around October 2022, and like the hype started early this year, 2023, and then we see a lot of mobile apps now also building Nostr functionalities, and this definitely led to huge also user growth of Albi itself, of the browser extension. When it comes to Bitcoin on-chain and Liquid keys in Albi itself, this is still quite recent. So one of the first apps that could integrate this would be, for example, Bolts Exchange, could be Fuji Money also. But we also now have a bounty building a web wallet for Liquid, for example, that is now interoperable with the Albi extension. So this is, I expect quite some adoption the next year. There's a lot of conversations currently going on about the benefits of Liquid compared to current Bitcoin on-chain prices, right? So I think people will try out new things, and then a browser extension that is easy to use comes in quite handy in this case, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard various takes on Liquid, and I have to say I'm not an expert on Liquid and how it exactly works, but I've heard the take that it is not a scaling solution, and one that it is kind of a layer two, and it can help alleviate some fee pressure. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent with that statement, because ultimately we also have like blocks that also have a certain amount or that have a certain space that can be filled with transactions. So we are basically only shifting the problem, but it's the same. It's built on the same trust fundamentals, or even slightly different based on federations as Bitcoin. So it will not really directly scale a lot more. It would just probably only postpone the problem to a later stage. But I think there is a lot to what we can actually discover in terms of using the capabilities of Liquid and combine that with Lightning that we haven't yet tried out. Because I mean, there are confidential transactions. Okay, that's all similar with Lightning, but you can have smart contract capabilities, for example, on Liquid that you don't have yet on Bitcoin directly. Might come. And yeah, I think this experimentation can happen easily when you have the tools to do that, basically, like a browser extension, ultimately, because just the web is, the platform that is like compared to all the apps, it's a free platform, it's the most innovative platform, where a lot of these innovations will happen also in the future.
Mm-hmm. I guess one thing I'm still trying to understand about Liquid is what is Liquid's like competitive advantage against some of these other protocols? Like you look at Lightning and you go, that is where you do instant payments and typically smaller value payments. And it's so good at doing those. And you have Bitcoin for settling very large sums of money across long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And it's so good at doing that. What is Liquid so good at doing that kind of makes it something that people should be kind of gravitating towards over time?
Yeah, I think it's in general a big question that a lot of people are asking themselves currently, where Liquid is strong. I think it definitely adds some sort of new features to payments that just are not there on Bitcoin directly yet. What makes it interesting? I would love to see more experiments, actually, more combination of Lightning and Liquid. Basically, so there are interesting wallets that have approaches where they basically mix your Lightning with your Liquid balance, and they might use then ultimately Liquid also to save some Lightning opening channel fees, for example, provide another a lower barrier for non-custodial usage of Lightning. Right. So I think there could be interesting concepts around that.
Yeah. Now let's shift gears to Nostr, because I know that ecosystem has had a lot of adoption recently, and over the last year it has become an ecosystem of its own, I think. There's like, it's not just a part of Lightning. In fact, it may actually, maybe this is something we can touch on, is which came first, the Nostr enthusiasm or the Lightning enthusiasm from your side? Because I think you get a lot of people who have discovered Bitcoin through Nostr, but then you also have a bunch of Bitcoiners who are using Nostr as like a new avenue with which they can use Bitcoin. So mm-hmm. from your perspective, do you have a good idea of like where that flow of users is coming from? Is it new people saying, I want a better social media experience, and then learning about Bitcoin as a follow-on effect? Or is it Bitcoiners saying, you know, I want some way I can use Bitcoin, and oh, here's Nostr, and that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty hard to say, because so from what I can say, I just don't have full visibility in all the people who are on Nostr and are active on Nostr. So I can basically only speak about the people I follow. I still have the feeling that the majority of, let's say, users that currently still stick to Nostr are people from the Bitcoin community. But I ultimately would hope that we have a more like diverse audience on Nostr, and I think we also need that. But for now, I think this is also we've seen quite some I should say low retention rates recently on Nostr. I think it just comes in waves. That's totally normal. But the people who stay are the ones who sort of find their community. And as most people speak about Bitcoin currently on Nostr, these are just mainly the people who are there. Mm-hmm. What we definitely also have seen is that more creators, content creators, find Nostr interesting and through Nostr then discover also the functionality or the benefit of Bitcoin, right? I mean, they are on Twitter, Instagram, they post their content, and now you have suddenly Nostr where you have an integrated payment mechanism, basically super deeply integrated in the protocol, actually, which comes in quite handy to use for whatever you post, basically. And this deep integrations you don't have on other platforms, and that's, I think, makes it especially for creators very interesting.
Mm-hmm. What is Albi doing to try and help kind of Nostr creators be able to more seamlessly make payments? I know there's some UX issues that still need to be worked out in whether it's someone from mobile or desktop trying to make a Zap on Nostr and being able to seamlessly move and receive money back and forth. What is Albi doing to make that process easier? And what work still needs to be done before anyone can show up to Nostr, spin up an account and go, immediately I can accept payments and I can send payments, and it's like it's all just happening in the background.
So I think two things. If we look at the browser extension, and obviously you have your Nostr your Nostr private key securely stored in the browser extension, and you can then with Albi basically you can log in all these web clients. So this makes it just very convenient and also more secure than just pasting your NSEC into a web app. I think this is one thing. And the other thing is the payment part, basically. So you can get your Albi Lightning address and then add it to your Nostr profile, and then everyone can send you a payment. And in this case, it's also a SAP, because there you get a SAP feedback, so a SAP and request is basically published and then shown on these clients, like as a public donation, so to say. This comes also with an Albi account, basically, and so this is quite nice, right? But still, you for a very very long time. Or only on web clients, actually, you had this easy, nice payment functionality that is natively in these web apps. But on mobile, you for a very long time had, or you could only, like, if you want to SAP someone, you have to switch the app, go out of the app, open your Lightning wallet, and then come back into the app, right? But this somehow interrupts the whole, like, experience, scrolling, commenting, SAPing, what you want to do in this app. So what we've then done is basically we sat together with Nostr developers and developed a protocol what is called Nostr Wallet Connect, and it basically allows you to connect any wallet to an application. It does not even need to be a Nostr application. It just uses the Nostr and the relay technology under the hood to connect your app. And what it basically allows you is to send payments to connect your wallet to the application and send a payment natively within this app. And that's a complete new payment experience, and also probably was also one of the major reasons why we have seen this huge increase in Noster payments or SEPs, basically, because it was suddenly so easy to make these payments.
Mm. And so how does this play into Albi's kind of strategy moving forward? On mobile, or are you shifting more of your attention to work on mobile, or you have this desktop browser extension? What does that experience for Albi look like on mobile?
So one of the answers of how you can experience Albi on mobile is definitely through a protocol like Noster Wallet Connect. You have your Albi account, and the idea is that it's like your companion. You can bring Albi to whatever app is out there that works with Bitcoin or Lightning payments, right? It's on web. The browser extension does the job. On mobile, it's basically Noster Wallet Connect that allows you to connect your Albi account and then send and receive payments. Because we very much believe that Lightning payments are app-driven payments, basically. Yes, you can use it for commerce. You can use it also for remittances, but you will see a huge amount of payments in the future directly made within applications. And these are not Lightning applications. These are natively like other applications that just integrate Bitcoin Lightning functionality. And Albi allows developers of these apps and users to connect the Albi wallet. And with Noster Wallet Connect, you can actually connect any other wallet that supports the same protocol.
Is this live for mobile right now? Like I've never used Albi on a mobile device. I would love to understand what that flow might look like. And is it that when I go to an app, I can just kind of click a button and say connect wallet and log in with Albi, and then now my balance from my Albi wallet is there and ready to use natively in that app?
Exactly. So if you, for example, open Damos, I think they have a section in the settings that says wallet, and then you can click on it, and then it says, yeah, connect, for example, Mutiny, connect Albi and such. And then you can click on it. You are directed to an Albi login screen where you then log in, and then you can set your budget that you want to pay or use within this specific application. And then you are immediately redirected. And yeah, just have your wallet connected, and then you can pay. And this is, I think it's currently live already in more than 20 apps who support this protocol.
Very cool. I'd love to talk a bit about Bitcoin Connect. This is a recent initiative you mentioned to me a little while ago. Let's dive in. Can you explain at a high level what Bitcoin Connect is?
Yeah, at a very, very high level, it is basically the same experience that you have with the Albi browser extension, just without the browser extension. So also here you can connect different wallets to an application, and then you can seamlessly pay in these applications. And this is very nice because for you as a user, you can choose from a bunch of different wallets. Like you can say, okay, I want to connect my LND node via Lightning Node Connect, for example. I want to connect Mutiny, Albi, Umbrel, LMBits. So these are all the connectors, for example, that are already available. And it's also quite nice for the developer because it's super easy to integrate. So they basically, in a very, very basic use case, they only need one line of HTML. And then they have can offer a full payment functionality. And what you can do is, once you connect your Albi account or any other wallet, you can then see the balance. You can send payments, you can receive payments, for example. And this is quite interesting also from an app developer perspective, because what it basically does, it allows you to build a more non-custodial payment experience, right? Because today you often have to deposit funds on certain application and then make the payment from these funds, right? But now you can actually connect a wallet. You stay within your like your trusted setup, connected. You see the balance, so you have a very nice experience also as if you would actually deposit the funds and then can spend just from your own wallet, and the app is not involved in custodying funds at all, for example.
Okay, so I'm still trying to understand the distinction in between Bitcoin Connect, something like Nostr Wallet Connect, and then just Albi as a browser extension. How do those three, what are the separations and similarities between those?
Yeah, so Nostr Wallet Connect is the technology of the protocol that's based on. And Bitcoin Connect basically wraps everything nicely together and are standard web components that an application can use. And if they integrate Bitcoin Connect, then they can allow wallets like Albi that support Nostr Wallet Connect to connect basically to this application and to pay. So Wallet Connect is a, let's say it's a developer tool basically for app developers to avoid all these to building our own payment experience, but just rely on standard components off the shelf thanks to Bitcoin Connect and everything else. Albi is a wallet, Zebedee can be used as a wallet, Umbrel and such then can be connected to it.
And is this something you're seeing that application developers are asking for already, or is this something, why did you set out to build Bitcoin Connect?
Because so far they only had this a similar experience with the Albi browser extension, but obviously that only works on the browser, right? And only on desktop browsers, because the support on mobile for browser extension is not really very good currently. So what Bitcoin Connect basically allows you is also now to have this on the same experience as you're used to on the desktop browser, also on a mobile browser or in a progressive web app. So basically for mobile use cases right now. So it's now also quite easy to connect your Umbrel node to a mobile app, not yet a native mobile app, but a mobile app that you store to your mobile screen, that you save to your mobile screen, and then can pay there basically. And this is, and the underlying technology of that is Nostr Wallet Connect, right?
I see. Can you speak to any of the new projects that are kind of like integrating Bitcoin payments for the first time? Any of the ones in your, I know you do like this Legends of Lightning community. Can you talk about some of the adoption you're seeing there and what these developers are demanding when they're thinking about integrating Bitcoin payments?
So when we talk, for example, about Bitcoin Connect, there are already quite some apps who support that. Apps like Abla News, for example, SapStream, are just some examples. But we've also seen that during a hackathon like Legends of Lightning, hackers or developers sometimes struggle to integrate Lightning payments in a way that they can do it like quickly. They just like they want to build an app experience, but suddenly they struggle a lot just for the payment functionality. And a standard set of components like Bitcoin Connect then just helps them to integrate and suddenly basically open up to all kinds of wallets that support this, right? And otherwise, what they would need to do is it could even get down to, I need to build a separate interface for each and every wallet that I want to allow my users to connect to my app, right? And this is quite a hassle. This is takes away quite some time, especially if you want to do it during a hackathon. We now actually have that unified interface that allows wallets to connect to apps thanks to a protocol like Nostr Wallet Connect. And they would not need to take care of that actually anymore. So it reduces quite some heavy lifting on the payments part, on the wallet part. And they can fully focus on their own app experience. And yeah, also I think so even before the hackathon was over, there were one or two or three apps that also implemented Bitcoin Connect, although Bitcoin Connect was also just part of the hackathon, right? So I think that was quite nice to see that it's actually so seamless and easy that they even could do it parallel to the team working on Bitcoin Connect.
Mm. Are there any use cases in which someone building Lightning payments would not use Bitcoin Connect? Like, can you draw kind of the illustrate for me what it might be like to not use that, and what use cases might that be right for to not use Bitcoin Connect?
Mm. So originally, yes, there were like use cases around, okay, when you do, for example, not a lot of payments, when there is no need to connect a wallet, but connecting a wallet on Stacker News is actually quite nice because you do a lot of payments there because you want to upvote, for example, several posts. And it's nice when you do not always have to scan a QR code or copy paste an invoice, which is quite a hassle for you as a user. So especially right for e-commerce, it's not a big problem to scan a QR code because you only have to do it once, right? So that was initially not planned for Bitcoin Connect, but actually now also within the last 3 weeks also implemented, so that you, even if the user has no wallet that supports this protocol, Bitcoin Connect just shows a QR code then that you can then basically scan with any wallet. So I think from this perspective, actually it covers quite a lot of different payments use cases. And it's what is nice, because it's, yeah, you as a developer, you don't have to build the payment experience together with different components like a QR code generator and such, but you can just rely on this set. So whenever it comes to app user payments, then this is quite nice. Either like a lot of payments or just one payment. But yeah, peer-to-peer payments in a sense of between people on the street sending a payment, then Bitcoin Connect is not the way to do that. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, let's talk a bit about Lightning adoption more broadly. In, I believe it was August, you shared a stat that I think it was over a million Lightning transactions in a month on Albi. And this is, at the time, it was about 30% higher than the transactions happening on Wallet of Satoshi, which is, they publicly shared that. That was a number I had been tracking pretty closely. And I thought, wow, this is very surprising. This is great to see. There's a lot of growth happening here. Can you speak to where some of that growth was coming from? And has that continued now into the end of 2023?
Most of the payments are really all these app-based payments where developers say, okay, I want payment functionality within my app, and I connect. I let users connect their Albi accounts either through the OAuth API that we offer or through Nostr Wallet Connect. And certainly a big part are payment streaming on podcasting. So there are now, I think, around 10 podcast apps and or actually 11 and 10 podcast hosting applications on the other side, where you can use an Albi wallet to connect and either receive as a podcaster or send payments as a podcaster. And this is a large part of this 1 million payments. The other big part is certainly payments on Noster, SEPs, for example. And then, at the end, Albi, the browser extension itself, it's a little bit like, it's just your companion, right? We don't have a strong opinion on what you can do. You can use it for all kinds of apps like LN Markets and such. So all these type of payments also then contribute, but these are still like compared to obviously streaming money, SEPs and such, a smaller part.
Right. So the number of payments happening on the podcasting side might be much larger, because every time if someone's streaming one payment per minute, every one of those payments, every minute they're listening is counting as one payment on Albi, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we are optimizing really Albi for this in-app payment use case, as opposed to... So that's also why, for example, our average transaction is smaller than what was, for example, written in the River report. Because people don't, I think it was around $12 or so, they don't regularly stream $12 per minute. Right. So that's then, I think it's just normal that it's smaller.
And do you expect that we'll see more of that? Do you think that the average payment size on Lightning will actually trend downwards to kind of converge with this podcasting zapping experience that you're seeing on Noster? Or will some of the other use cases like LN Markets, some of the exchange use cases, maybe e-commerce, will those drive that $12 number to go higher over time and to the point where the average payment on Lightning is $15, $20, or $50?
I think we will definitely see even more microtransactions, because that's where Lightning is just very, very strong, I believe. And it could lead that the average amount goes down, but I mean, at the end of the day, I think we will also see more people naturally onboarded onto Lightning, connecting with an exchange where actually high numbers or high amounts are transferred. So it's really hard to say towards which direction, but I'm 100% sure that we will see more microtransactions, just also because there are very, very cool projects who experiment with monetizing APIs, where you basically buy any kind of data, like weather data, for example, with a Lightning transaction. And a use case like this, I think we will see in 2024 even more. And that will also naturally lead for like smaller payments.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any growth in the number of people using Albi in the last month or two? We've seen Bitcoin's price grow substantially since October. Is that translating into more Lightning payments?
Hard to say. We haven't done an analysis on that yet. We have seen quite some inflow from new users, but they are not driven by the price increase of Bitcoin itself, really rather by interesting apps building on Lightning. And just because Albi makes it so easy for you to then interact with these apps, people come to Albi and then to the application to use it. And that, for example, led to a huge user growth also recently. And that was also interesting because they actually also had like really a bit higher amount. So this was a similar use case to LN Markets, for example, where you do not do microtransactions, but transactions, like 3-digit US dollar transactions and such. And obviously another use case actually was the topic of satograms that increased, I think, the overall amount of transactions in the Lightning Network also by quite some percentage numbers. I think I'm not so sure how like sustainable this is. I think this is a lot of trying out things. But this is cool. Interesting also discussion that's happening around that. But I honestly also think this is actually where Lightning is strong itself in the technology. Because we have and I definitely can recommend here a talk from Bob Scully, for example, about the Nostra Wallet Connect during Nostra Asia. Maybe we can also link that. But what he basically says is Bitcoin as a layer for transfer value is open, it's instant, and it's global, but it still has very, very fragmented identities, and there is no coordination. So if you want to do one payment to multiple people, it's still very hard to do, because usually you can only pay a person once a time, right? But with Nostra, actually, now we have the standard identities that people are identified by their public Nostra key, right? And also with Nostra messages, you have a standard way or a way to send and coordinate these payments. And that's why especially interesting for these use cases like satograms, where you then can basically send from one person to many recipients, right? And that's also what he, for example, did is with Make Prisms, where he allows creators and also followers of creators to earn sats. And Make Prism or these satograms applications, they never touch payments, or at least not the most of them. They just orchestrate payments, right? So you suddenly have the means to build an application like and coordinate hundreds of payments in a completely non-custodial way, which hasn't been possible before. And that's why I'm very, very optimistic that we see more use cases around that, especially in these micro, either multi-to-multi payment use cases or single-to-multi payment use cases.
I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Just a quick message from our sponsor, Stackwork. Stackwork is a Lightning-powered platform for generating high-quality transcripts of all your audio or video content. They combine AI engines and hundreds of human workers all over the world who are paid over the Lightning Network to assemble these transcripts. And that's what lets Stackwork create better, faster, and less expensive transcripts. To see the results for yourself, you can check out my personal website where I host transcripts for all my podcast episodes. If you want to learn more about Stackwork, visit stackwork.com. That is stakwork.com. Are there any other interesting ideas that you've been thinking about when coordinating either one-to-many payments, where one person blasts a bunch of money out to a bunch of people all at the same time, or many people blast out a bunch of money that gets sent to many other people at the same time?
I think it's definitely worthwhile looking at Make Prism, for example. Quite interesting concept where they allow creators basically to connect to this application and receive a reward when they're among like the top 10 creators who signed up. It's like a donation or like income for the time that they signed up. So a constant funding source. And that could actually create some very nice feedback loop, positive feedback loop with a natural growth of the ecosystem. That's interesting, I think. Let's see what people will come up to. I think the tools are there. It's really it's a good time to experiment now.
On the topic of Satogram specifically, is Lightning payments the future of advertising? Is this where we're headed, where you're now almost expected to pay someone if you want to get in front of them? Or is this something that you think is just an experimental idea, but probably not the direction in which the advertising industry trends over time?
Hard to say. I think it's right now, it's still a lot of experimentation. I mean, because per se, like you as an advertiser, you want to know as much as possible about the people you advertise, because just only then you can make sure that the advertisement is efficient and also effective at the end of the day. But with Lightning payments, it's a little bit tricky, because depends on which wallets you use. You don't actually have so much data about these persons, so you don't know who you actually target in particular. So unless there is a way that people can supply more data, then I don't see how this will grow further beyond experimentation. But we will see. I think. Still, you get paid, right? It's real value. Value what you get at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's something that people might demand over time, because every time you walk down the street, you're bombarded with ads all over the place, and in the real world, there's never been a mechanism to request a payment for that distraction, having to see this distracting billboard. Maybe you didn't want to see it, maybe it's just there and it's kind of in your way, but you have to deal with it. And you don't really think about these things much, and they're not worth a whole lot, but in sum, they all kind of distract you, and they kind of they're a net negative, I guess, on the scenery around you and the space around you. On the internet, though, we do have this tool now in Lightning payments to make sure that people are adequately rewarded for their time and energy and effort. And even if that energy or that distraction is just like closing that pop-up window of like the annoying ad that you didn't want to see, maybe there is a price at which these ads clear and makes it so that like every user of the internet, anytime they can either choose to receive ads and earn a bit of money just, every single day as they browse the internet, or they can choose to not receive ads and forgo the money. Maybe there is kind of a market there that forms, but it could also be too early to tell for sure how this develops.
Yeah, I think 100% there is a market for that. And I think you already see that there are apps that offer you, have a look at this ad for 30 seconds and get paid 100 sats, for example. Maybe not necessarily with sats, but maybe they have an internal point system, and then you can get a request a payout. So there are tons of apps who already do that, and Lightning basically just like allows you then to either withdraw earlier because transaction costs are so low, and democratize, basically ease the access for everyone. I think just what all these apps have in common is they are collecting user data over time, and thus can then offer better advertising service to the advertisers themselves. And we will see. Maybe there are some wallets who also will do that. At Albi, we have not really focused on that so much, actually.
Interesting. Are you seeing any impact from the high fees on Bitcoin's main chain when it comes to Lightning payments? Are people less willing to try Lightning now that the idea of like opening up a bunch of channels is going to cost a lot more money just in the last month or two? Maybe it may still be hard to tell, because at the same time we've seen the price rise, we've also seen the fees rise, and parsing those two out may be a little bit of a challenge, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the impact of fees on Lightning payments.
This is definitely a part that's actually a little bit worrying to me, I have to say, because there's no secret about that. At Albi, we are also looking into non-custodial how we can actually provide non-custodial accounts to our users, right? But we have a lot of users who use Lightning for like very, very small payments. And also not sometimes, some people a bit more, some people actually a bit less. But, you know, if you have a very small payment volume or if you have a low balance and then you're suddenly requested to pay, I don't know, like 10% of your balance for Bitcoin on-chain fees to open a channel to your own node, I think we would, as a community, we would have a very, very hard time to onboard a lot of these new users because, you know, it doesn't cost anything today to open up a PayPal account or Cash App account. It's all for free, basically. So that's what actually users expect. And now it's super hard to convince this type of users to use Lightning and have a $10 payment upfront, for example, just because you want to open or you need to open a Lightning channel for your first transaction. And I hope that we have solutions for that. Otherwise, we're going to have a very, very hard time to onboard a lot of new users. And yeah, that's also quite challenging for us right now at Albi, actually. Yeah.
What are the best solutions that you've seen to date, or you've heard that, you know, you go, that might actually work, that might help us onboard those users that otherwise would have had to deal with the high fees?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are some concepts are currently discussed out there. So Arc is one of them, for example, that was introduced, or at least still on a very like concept level, introduced mid of this year, for example. Fedimint has an interesting approach to that, so like a federated custody service. Then there were also discussion around hosted channel ones, where you basically do not send a full Bitcoin transaction to the chain and wait until it's part of a block. You basically don't publish it, but still you open a payment channel. So it's, you know, there's a grade of trust involved in all these solutions. But so these are the ones that we are currently looking at, actually. And I think, you know, unfortunately, but also a hosted wallet is just also a scaling solution in this regard, right? Because then you just have to open a lot less channels, because not every user has a channel. It's just aggregated on the service level.
Are there any other problems with Lightning that you think need to be addressed right now? I know high fees and scaling Lightning may be a challenge, but are there others that you see, you know, we should be really focusing a lot of our attention to try and solve these things?
Well, I think actually, so I'm still quite optimistic. So most of these challenges are known, have been worked on. So for example, offline receive today, you would need to be online to be able to receive a payment. But for many use cases, it's just not feasible, right? Especially imagine you're a podcaster, you get streamed 24 hours, some payments, you cannot be awake 24 hours unless you run like an Umbral node or Voltage node, for example, but not every podcaster does that. So there are therefore things like async payments that allow you to also receive when you're offline, basically, or they basically push the payment finally once you are online again, but they buffer the payment in between. This is interesting. I mean, for example, splicing would help definitely also a lot to save some channel opening fees, because I don't need to have like several channels with you, biggers or smallers, but I can use one channel to increase its capacity or decrease its capacity, and also more efficiently manage capital there. And one thing that I think is also very important is at least for us at Albi, basically, is how can you also connect an account in a non-custodial account to multiple applications, right? Because I think Lightning is really super strong when it comes to using it in apps. And this would currently mean that you also have assigning applications in all of these apps, right? To be able to send a payment, you need to sign a transaction. To receive, you also need to sign a transaction, actually. That was just like also for the developer again, quite some effort to add these like designing functionalities, secure storage functionalities into an app. Breeze SDK, for example, does a great job, and I also believe that things like Nostr Wallet Connect will help us a lot in building more non-custodial Lightning experiences in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to talk about regulations a little bit. We've seen in the last month, Wallet of Satoshi has decided to leave the US and say, we're not going to participate in this market anymore. It feels like there's a bit of a concern among some, you know, custodial wallet providers and things like that to either exit the US or, you know, to come up with compliance solutions. Is this something that you guys are thinking about a lot at Albi? What is your best understanding of the regulatory landscape in Lightning today?
So why, for me, it's a bit speculation why Wallet of Satoshi left the US market. Likely it has to do with regulatory pressure, but the real reason I actually don't know. But ultimately, I mean, there is no way around that, custodial solutions on Lightning have to look at regulations and deal with things like that. Of course, it might be sometimes a bit more efficient if you can do it later in, for example, in a startup lifespan, because in the beginning you're like short of funds, you need to see that you get product market fit, and now you also have to take care of that. So that's why we see actually a lot of these companies also pushing it out more and more. And I think from this perspective, it's very, very much understandable. But ultimately, it's just postponing the problem to a later stage. And I think there are then basically two ways out of that, right? You see companies that are licensed, that have these money transmitter licenses that are required in the US for certain states. And then you see companies take, let's say, the approach of building a non-custodial solution. This is also what we are currently working on at Albi. So we, for example, introduced limits to make sure that we know actually what's happening on our systems, that there is no excessive payment spending behavior, because there are also some thresholds that we should not exceed. And at the same time, we are also motivating our users more and more to use Albi in a non-custodial way. And they actually can already do that today if they feel like if they are capable to do so, if they are interested enough to do so. Because obviously, unfortunately, also the journey, the self-custodial journey is still a little bit more cumbersome than the custodial one. So you can connect your own Umbrel node, Voltage node to the Albi extension, but you know, like it already requires you to set up an account somewhere else or to order hardware components and such. Not everyone is doing that, but people can do that. They can actually even connect their own node to getalbi.com, have an Albi Lightning address, and receive all payments on their own node. So it's actually doable. And we will also in the next weeks, we will announce things around that to make it even easier for users to connect their own nodes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So you see then there's two possibilities, right? Like the licensed approach, and then there's the non-custodial approach. Do you see anything else in between where even for small amounts of payments, do you think there's a threshold at which regulators will become comfortable with Lightning in its kind of Wild West form, where you don't really know who's sending the payments, but because it's only one sat or 10 sats or 100 sats, it's not a concern, or no?
Hard to say. I expect not. Once you have a significant size of users, I think there is no way around that. You can say, Okay, you basically it's sort of acceptable because it's so low. The total payment volume is so low, but ultimately, I think there is nothing like that, like really written on some FinCEN guidance also that says, okay, up until then, you are completely free. You don't have to take care of anything. It's clearly defined that you have to register there. However, there are actually some states that do not require a specific money transmitter licenses if you're a cryptocurrency wallet provider. But again, then it's only for certain states, it's not for all states. And I think, yeah, if you want to build a serious business in the long term, you probably need to decide at some point, do you go the custodial way and be fully compliant with all the licenses in each and every state? And there is, yes, there is always like some gray area here on the sides, but ultimately there is then also just then, or you do it the non-custodial way.
Is this something that Albi's considered as well, taking that custodial pathway and fully licensing and going that route rather than the non-custodial approach? Like, I'd love to understand where, you know, I think a lot of Bitcoiners have a bias towards that non-custodial approach. And I think it's probably healthy for the ecosystem. But as you mentioned, over time, there's, especially for newcomers, there's a very steep learning curve. So I'd love to hear more about your decision making of like, how you decide between taking those two approaches.
It's a very, very tough thing, I have to say. I'd say that, yes, we as a community have the sort of the duty to motivate for more non-custodial usage. But obviously also just, I think that one reason why we are there where we are today is because we can make it so easy to users to use Lightning. And unfortunately, that's just the custodial manner. But I think for us at Albi, the setup that we have is just an intermediate one. We might have it a little bit longer, but we could think of, for example, once you exceed a certain threshold in terms of payment volume or balance, you will be then onboarded on a non-custodial Albi account. So when does it come? I really don't know. Hard to say. There will be some small things announced the next weeks around that, to like as a first step towards that direction. But our goal ultimately is to not go and say Albi is forever custodial.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, I'd love to finish this off by talking about some of the other items on the Albi roadmap. Is there anything interesting that you want to specifically highlight here today?
So that's the regarding the non-custodial part. There will be an announcement the next weeks also, where we already offer more convenient non-custodial solutions for Albi. Actually, still might not be super perfect, and it's still very, 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 let's say, alpha, but it is just possible. You can use it, you know. So this will come. And another thing what I'm very much looking for, and a lot of users ask, is actually the browser extension optimized for mobile phones. So Albi used to work on the Kiwi browser, but the Kiwi browser did some updates, and also the Kiwi browser itself is, yeah, it's not as mature, as stable as Firefox, Mozilla Firefox. So you will be able to use the Albi extension and download it on your Android phone and use it then on the Firefox browser. What is quite nice, so far the support for browser extension was quite limited, But since I think last week, you can now also publish a browser extension for mobile on Firefox. And yeah, we are one of the first Bitcoin extensions then available. What's quite nice. I think so. These are like the major parts. And yes, like around Nosta Wallet Connect, where we definitely want to head is at let other wallets connect to the Albi browser extension through Nosta Wallet Connect, through this really simple interface. And we also would like actually to help a lot of other wallets to get on board to integrate this protocol. So that's at least personally on my business development roadmap for next year. I think that's already quite some stuff.
Awesome. Is it possible to use browser extensions on mobile using an iPhone, like on Safari? Does Safari support mobile browser extensions?
Yes, it's a little bit different, the experience than on Android, because it's basically it's an own app that you have to install. I think you even have to install it through the Apple App Store. Mm. And that's actually a good other point that is very likely also on our roadmap 2024. It's a little bit more work, and you also have to go through the App Store and such, but it is like you have then also the same capabilities. You can use the Safari browser, but for, let's say, every like extension specific things, then you automatically switch to the app that is then available on your home screen.
Interesting.
It will come.
Okay. Let's finish this off with a couple of rapid fire questions. Is there any book that has changed your view of the world recently?
Actually, I don't read so many books anymore, I have to say.
Fair enough.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and recently I listen a lot to the Sales Evangelist, for example. It's super easily explained how people do sales. I think for me in my daily job, it's just very, very helpful. It's definitely no life changing moment, but I can learn a lot from them.
Nice. If you could change one thing about the Lightning Network, what would you change?
I would like to change that you have to be really online in order to receive a payment. I think that's quite a hurdle, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then finally, who's one builder in the Bitcoin or Lightning ecosystem that you'd like to give a shout out to for doing great work?
Tough question. I'd say not so sure if I can really mention, because if I mention one, that would mean I would mention thousands of others. Not. What I would like to say is we have at Albi, we have more than 120 contributors, because Albi is open source, and actually, and also, thanks to their work, we are there where we are today. And like, these are developers, designers, users who wrote guides, for example, or translations. And I think every contribution of them is very valuable to us. And actually, that's also a reason why I think we have users among like, or from 120, 30, 28, something countries today, thanks to a lot of people translating Albi. And I think, big shout out to all of these contributors.
Awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat today, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Yeah, likewise.